Hello, my name's Peter Van Joni. I'm the curator for this exhibition titled Idyllic Country, Pastoral Landscapes from the Collection, and I'm about to take you on a floor talk. I'll just kick off with this work here, which we put on the entrance wall. Basically, I was given a brief to come up with something historical, and I thought that for the exhibition program, and I thought pastoral landscapes would be quite an interesting theme to explore. And I was amazed at going through the collection, you suddenly see works, for instance, that work by Priestman at the back there on the centre of the wall. I hadn't actually even seen that work 6 months ago, and it had been just sitting in the store. So it's a good opportunity to pull these works out that don't necessarily see the light of day that often, and it's and it looks fantastic.
So you've put the three cattle together there.
Yeah, sort of framed at the back there. So the theme is pastoral landscapes, and this work here on the entry wall, I put it there because sort of, you know, living in the country or quite often city dwellers move to the country for a bit of respite and rest. And in fact, this work was painted by Eve Page when her fiancé, Frederick Page, was quite ill. He'd been in Exeter Hospital and was seriously ill, actually, and they moved to this Dorset village and for him to recuperate. So they spent a few months there, and that's when this work was painted. They weren't married, however, and they posed as brother and sister, apparently, so that they didn't cause too much of a stir in the village. But it's a beautiful work, and there's several works in the exhibition that have this sort of view looking down on the landscape, including some just behind us here, which I'll get to. But it's a wonderful work, that one, and I think I love nothing more than heading to the country for a holiday, for, you know, as a city dweller. And in many ways, that's what these works provided, really, was a form of a sort of a form of escapism from living in cities. This print here by Richard Earlham is actually after Claude Lorrain, who was a sort of the painter of the idyllic landscape, country landscape. And in the 1720s, the Duke of Devonshire bought a book of Lorrain's drawings, original drawings, and Earlham then undertook to engrave them, and then they were published as a set of engravings, which actually went on to influence a lot of British artists because they would buy the engravings, and so you get a lot of British artists producing sort of idyllic landscapes such as this. They're quite almost Greek-looking figures there with the shepherds looking tending the livestock. It's a very tranquil exhibition, and there's, you know, this sense of calm in this show. Around here, I've put these two works together by Joseph Turner and Gwen Raverett, and they're both prints, but they're, you know, they're sort of I think there's over 100 years separating them, but they both convey a similar sort of theme, and that's highly idealised and romanticised visions of the landscape. And really, you see the figures in this landscape hardly have a care in the world. But this one by Raverett in particular is very relaxed and actually reminds me of a medieval tapestry almost, yeah, with the finish. It's a fantastic print, this. It's only an edition of six, and it's quite fortunate to have it in the collection. It came from the Nankervell collection. And you have to come up close to see it, but the detail in it is fantastic. And she was really a leading figure in the wood engraving revival in England in the 1920s and 30s. And in terms of wood engraving, that's actually quite a large work, because normally they're quite small, because they're working on end grain wood. And she's actually printed these in a series of blocks and joined the paper together to get a large image. Of course, the pastoral landscape, actually, the first sort of recordings of images of pastoral landscapes were from Greek and Roman times. There was a few frescoes have survived. And during the Renaissance, it sort of became popular again. And this work by Ernest Waterloo is Victorian / Edwardian. And, of course, there was heavy industrialisation happened throughout the 19th century, And in many ways, Victorians enjoyed this sort of subject because it was in a sense of escape from the heavily industrialised society that it was becoming. It's quite interesting, this figure. She's just not got a care in the world. She looks almost bored, really, sort of having to tend these sheep. But this is the, you know, it's a sense of relaxation almost in these works. That comes through in this particular one. Now I'll just quickly move around here. We don't often get Australian art up on the walls here. There's not a lot of it in the collection, which is quite surprising. We can tell the story of British art better than we can tell the story of Australian art. But this is one of the few early Australian works we have by Arthur Merrick Boyd. And it's quite an interesting story how it was acquired. Neil Roberts was bidding for this work in 1984 at auction in Christchurch here, and ended up it was him. He was a curator at the gallery. He was bidding for the gallery for the work. And it was him and an Australian art dealer, and they were bidding against each other. And then she finally won. He had to pull out because it got too high. And afterwards she approached him and wanted to know, you know, who he was, and then he explained he was buying it for the gallery. And she decided that her husband had recently passed away, and she decided to gift the work to the gallery in memory of her husband. So it didn't actually cost the gallery anything. It was a very generous gift. But it's a wonderful scene of Muralbank, which is around Melbourne. But it's quite interesting, these two works, this one by John Gibb as well, because both these rural landscapes have now, of course, our cityscapes, so they're quite poignant, really. This view is looking sort of at the foot of the Kashmir Hills, you know, where the river runs past the St. Margaret's Hospital, I think, around there. And of course, that's all just suburbia now. It's all just changed. And this work by John Gibb is it's very Lorraine. It could have been painted in the 1700s almost. And I mean, we can identify the Southern Alps in that, but it really looks like a European landscape rather than a New Zealand one. But it's interesting here, the cattle in the stream, which is a major problem in Canterbury now with dairy farming and that, and our waterways have suffered as a result of cattle accessing streams. And these two works here by Edwardian British artists. Cattle were incredibly popular subjects, and these two artists sort of had no trouble in selling their paintings of cattle. They're quite different in treatment. This is quite a washed out work by Priestman, sort of almost got a summer haze feel to it, whereas this is much more sort of expressionist and more bold, I guess, but they're sort of elevating cattle to an almost monumental sort of scale. Now if we come around here to Nugent Welch, he was a member of the Pumpkin Cottage group, James Nairn, an early impressionist, Scottish impressionist painter who settled in New Zealand in 1890, moved to Wellington and rented a cottage at Silver Stream in the Hutt Valley, and Nugent Welch became a part of that group. They'd go out from Wellington on weekends and paint. And this was painted in 1916, and I think it's quite advanced for that time with its treatment. It's very post-impressionist and almost this pointless sort of feature happening. It's a wonderful work. Of course, this landscape, Lower Hutt, Upper Hutt, is incredibly industrialised now, especially Lower Hutt. And again, there's this sort of poignancy that reverberates around a lot of these works. The Welch is also interesting because this is just on the eve of him heading off to the war. So it's a very calm and peaceful painting that sort of belies the fact that within 6 months he'd gone to the First World War. John Nash also served in the First World War and is most well known for his painting of British soldiers going over the top and into No Man's Land, which is in the War Museum in London, the Imperial War Museum. It's interesting, after the war he he stopped living in London, in the cities, and sought refuge in the country. And he settled in Wormingford and just lived in this sort of idyllic country landscape. And it's almost like a retreat from the war experiences that he would have experienced. This is a view from his house, his cottage, looking down, and you can see the... Well, that's not really a broad view of a pastoral landscape. You can see the landscape in the background there. And this village hasn't changed much at all from what we see in this painting. Now, I put a few prints in, because I like prints, and especially lino cuts. And this particular lino cut by Alice Coates is a lesser-known lino cut artist who studied under Claude Flight and showed in London with the British Lino Cut School at the Redfern Gallery, which is Rex Nankervell's gallery. And these two works came from Nankervell. But it's quite interesting because Flight was into futurism and was pushing that his students should be representing modern life and industrialised life and sort of quite heavy subjects like that. But this is quite interesting because Alice Coates has chosen a pastoral subject in the country. So quite at odds to the subjects that Claude Flight would have preferred here to produce, I think. But nevertheless, it adds quite a new and dynamic imagery to the exhibition, which is a bit more sort of traditional. And this artist here, Christopher Nevinson, I think for me is one of the most interesting in the show. It's a small etching. And in the 1910s, he totally embraced futurism. And a lot of his work was very angular. He actually embraced the Futurist Manifesto, which promoted war as a means of cleansing the human race. And he went off to the First World War as an ambulance driver. And so a lot of his early work is very hard-edged, industrial. He did one image of soldiers marching, and they look like robots in a line type thing. But the war had a profound impact on his outlook. I think he would have seen some pretty horrific things as an ambulance driver. And it's interesting, after the war, he came back and his subject matter changed to very traditional landscapes. And it's almost a sense of, again, seeking refuge from what he had experienced. Mervyn Taylor, another lovely wood engraving. Again, I haven't seen a lot of these works. I counted, actually, there's 22 works haven't been on display since I've been working at the gallery, so it's quite a good opportunity, shows like this, to bring out works show them in a light like this. I like this image because of its strong contrast of black and white, and it's really highly energised, whereas some of the pastoral landscapes are quite sort of sleepy almost, you know? So it's great sort of modern and energised vision of the landscape. Lastly, I thought it'd be good to put in some contemporary artists, and I'm not relating to the landscape as such. Come on in closer, because they're quite small, but we've got several prints by Barry Cleven and Bing Dorr, which comment, I think, on, they're not necessarily pastoral landscapes, but they do comment on pastoralism. And it's quite nice having these death cycle of the cow, and also the design for a dinner set from Bing Dorr's experiences as a freezing worker, with the carcasses of animals sort of swaying unflatteringly on the hooks of the chain line, sort of opposite these majestic visions of cattle down the other end of the gallery, because ideally what we are in fact looking at is basically our food down that end. I mean, they look great, but they're going to end up on the dinner table, aren't they? You know. Barry's pastoral carelessness also comments on the introduction of genetics into farming and how it's become really profit driven. Maximising production. Shall we Actually, I'll just quickly, I moved to Christchurch in 1988, and it is interesting when you drive out to Oxford how the landscape has changed from sheep farming to dairy farming. It's incredible. These brown landscapes that you get in this Juliet Peter painting are now green throughout the year. So there's a real change.